Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning and welcome to this beautiful Wednesday morning here in Tempe, Arizona. Welcome to Rhino Nation, broadcast to you live from Phoenix Business Radio X studio here in Tempe. Powered by Rhino Online Strategies and e-creativity, Rhino Nation is a growing community of influential entrepreneurs and small business owners that share a common trait. They don't walk, they don't run, they charge to their destiny. And we acknowledge and celebrate their business expertise, leadership, and fearless attitude to be victorious in their goals. Rhino Nation is committed to making powerful connections and providing enhanced exposure to broaden the reach and promote the extraordinary talents of our community members. I'm Michelle Faust, and I'd like to welcome my guest today, Carrie Conley, a vision coach, and Marie Tomas-Keegan with Transition and Thrive with Maria. Welcome to you, the show, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Michelle.
I'm really excited to have you here. Now, Maria and I go back a little bit.
We do.
Yeah, so meeting quite a few years back in a networking group. We've kept up with each other a little bit over the years. Carrie, I'm meeting for the first time, but I've heard some amazing things about you. So really excited to get, you know, deep into this conversation of things that are so important to all of us. We all have challenges and transitions and roadblocks and all kinds of things in our lives that we need to kind of get past. And so that's a lot of what we're going to dig into in the next hour. So what I like to do to start off the show is a little intro. I'm throwing this at you without giving a lot of thought to it, so don't worry about it. It's just a little intro from your words of what you do and what you provide for the people out there. And I'll start with you, Maria.
Oh, good. Thank you. On the spot, right away. Yeah. Actually, I want to say that you and I met at the same networking event that Carrie and I met.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So it's, as I was driving here today, I was thinking, well, isn't that serendipitous? Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I haven't been there. Have you been there?
No.
I haven't.
I'm not even sure they're doing it anymore.
I kind of don't think they are. I haven't heard about it.
I haven't gotten any emails. But anyway, so I'm Maria Tomas-Keegan, and my company is Transition and Thrive. And I am a life and career transition coach for women. And I specialize in those, what I call the upside downs of life. When major life events can stop us in our tracks, turn our world upside down, and we sometimes need some help to figure out how to turn it right side up again.
Which leads right into the title of your book.
It does.
Yeah, which now I have read it, so I know it's available on Kindle. And then you, I believe the hardcover.
Tomorrow.
What timing. That's fantastic. Well, good. Well, we'll have more conversation about that because I really enjoyed that read. Just wanted to make sure I got that plug in. Perfect timing for it. So, Carrie, tell me a little bit about what you do.
So I am a vision coach, as you mentioned, and so I've built two businesses over the past 25 years. So I've been an entrepreneur for a really long time. And the reason I focus on coaching people around their vision is because most people, what they have is wishy-washy at best. They have what I call a hope and a wish and a prayer plan going on, and it doesn't work, especially when you're running a business. So I specifically help people take what they've got rolling around in their head and getting it down into concrete words on paper with very clear detail and dates of when they intend to achieve their vision. So I am a vision coach. I'm a speaker. I also an author, and I also coach coaches.
That's fantastic. And I believe the at least one book that I'm aware of is Vision of Victory.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that one yet, but I will, because I love both the idea of vision and victory. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that it felt like this had to happen when I was reading through your website and I saw Infinite Nation. So I'm like, okay, I'm Rhino Nation. Now I have Infinite Nation.
Right.
Yeah, the guest too.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit more about that and that
sure.
Component. I think what I wanted to start off with is talking a little bit about coaches. They're valuable. They are very important in the business world. There's also a lot of them.
There is.
And so, as with any profession, there's certain education, credibility, you know, I think that really need to be in place. You don't really want to engage with the person that just says, oh, I've been through a lot of life experiences, so I know it all. So let's talk a little bit about that. I don't really have a specific question to it other than, you know, what's kind of your response, what rolls around in your head around that conversation of how does somebody choose, you know, a coach that really is going to work for them? You know, I know a lot of it, I'm sure, is personality, but a lot of it is, you know, how successful are they? I'll throw it back to you, Carrie. We did all talk about that on our phone call a little bit, you know, vision coaching versus business coaching. So I'd like to hear, you know, your thoughts on that a little bit.
Yeah, so coaching has become like the industry of the, you know, the decade. You can go to a networking event and probably find five coaches in the room.
Or more.
And so here's my take on it. There are a lot of people who would love to coach. And without the experience of building a business, let's say if they want to be a business coach, sometimes they will just go and get a coaching certificate, which they're great. There are a lot of really good ones out there. But it's very hard without the experience behind you when you have the certificate to really, I don't want to use the word convince, but really have somebody connect with you and say, I know you can help me.
Be credible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it has to be a combination of both. I think people need to know that, see, the reason I talk about vision is I have a whole story behind it of how I created my first vision and what it did for my life and how it put me on the path that I'm on right now. And most especially the on the path that I've been through the past couple of years and where I'm going from here. So I think people connect with you, like Maria said, when they know you have credibility in what you're talking about. Business coaching is also another thing. You know, you have to really work with a coach that has a successful business themselves, which sometimes is the case and sometimes really not. Social media can make things look really great.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of check, you know, do our research.
Do our due diligence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we all have a specialty. Mine is vision. I help people get very, very clear on that, as I mentioned, because it fixes a lot of problems people are dealing with. The reason I say vision is victory because it literally has to be the first thing before you do anything else. Literally anything else.
And I believe that, absolutely, because if you don't have that, then how do you know the step to get there?
Correct.
So that, exactly. To me, is first and foremost, is understand what that end goal is and where you're headed. So you mentioned due diligence, Maria, and I was thinking the same thing is in terms of how does somebody go about doing the due diligence? And, you know, obviously there's referrals and there's, you know, checking out whatever social media you can on somebody's background. But what would you recommend, Maria, for somebody, you know, looking for a coach, they're interested, whatever, you know, business, life, vision, transition, what are some of the things they can do in terms of due diligence to make sure that they're getting the right connection?
Yeah. I believe they need to talk to people, a lot of people, not only the coach that they're considering hiring. And I believe they should talk to many more than one. I love the number three. I've built a practice around the number three. So when you interview three people and you ask them all the same questions, so preparation in advance, understand what it is you want to know. What are the questions you want to ask? And ask the same questions of all of the people you interview. And then talk to people who have worked with those people. And find out what their outcome was. How successful was their experience with that coach? And I think from that, you can get a sense, I believe also in using your intuition about those things. Mm-hmm. So you feel, I feel, I can tell when I've talked to someone whether there's a resonance there or not. Mm-hmm. And if there is, that's, you know, one ticky mark on the plus side, right?
Uh-huh, right.
So I also believe in doing assessments or analysis without getting too deep into it. It's just a pros and cons sheet, right? So for each one, what are the pros and cons? Mm-hmm. And then just like I teach my my clients, values is a foundational element. Do they have similar values to yours?
I think, yeah,
if
that's
they
important.
Don't, yeah. Then you're off track right from the get-go.
I would agree. Because if you can't speak the same language, because if you work with a coach, let's say for a year, and you're working pretty closely with them, you're going to have to be able to be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't feel safe in that, it's going to be really difficult for that coach to help you, because the coach needs to know everything.
Everything, yeah.
And you need to trust it. And I also want to talk about how most people, unfortunately, make decisions with coaching. They make it with dollar signs. And that is the very wrong way to go about deciding on a coach. Unfortunately, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially new in the game, will either not hire a coach, or they will buy or invest in a cheaper coach or one that's giving away their services. And that's not the best gauge.
Well, and or even in an online program and
yes.
try to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the difficult bridge. And I've experienced it myself. How do you determine what you can afford in an investment? I did invest in a business coach and he's been great. So I see the value of it. But it's a very hard thing to do when your cash flow isn't as strong as it needs to be. But the whole purpose of the coach
exactly.
is to get that cash flow going.
Exactly.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes. So they do the backwards thinking thing. They say, well, I know I need a coach and I know you can help me, but I'm going to have to wait until I have the money. But a real good coach, a successful coach, will say to you, I can help you. Make that money a lot faster so that I can help you get all of that investment back and more. So it's always, you've got to invest to go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You spend money to make money. Same
yep.
type of principle. And trust me, I'm a cheerleader for it because I have seen the benefits.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when you were just talking, Carrie, I had this thought of, I won't use a bad word here. It's going to be kind of a derogatory term, but you probably have to be a little hardcore.
Tough love.
Yeah. When you talk about the transparency, when you talk about, here's these vulnerable people
yeah.
out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's your job to give that tough love,
right.
yeah.
you know? And I'm sure that your experience with it, it probably comes easy to you, but I guess my thought was it wouldn't come easy to me to be that person.
Mm.
I want the nicey thing going on all the time.
Yeah. Coaches aren't always nice because we can't be.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I think a good coach sees through so that we get to call people on it. So what I do is I just ask permission.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not going to be an easy thing to hear necessarily. So I just ask permission. I just noticed something that you said about something you did or whatever. And I have an idea about that. Do you mind if I go into it with you? And it may not be easy to hear.
Okay.
And then I just get their permission. Mm-hmm. And no one's ever said no.
Yeah, right.
Because they're there for a reason, right? But I think if you are a little gentle, maybe a little graceful about how you ask for that permission. I've never had anybody say no.
And I would presume you set the expectation up ahead of
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And particularly with you, Maria, you're dealing with a pretty vulnerable clientele.
Tough situations yeah. that yeah. they're going through. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, very,
so you do have yeah. to, I'm sure, handle a little kid glove, but at the same time be strong and give them the guidance and direction they need.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that any coach needs to ascertain before they will work with a client. So not everyone gets to be a client of mine or a client of Carrie's. Mm-hmm. They have to be ready and willing mm-hmm. to put out all of it. The investment, the time, the dedication, the work. We don't flip a switch.
Right.
We don't make things go away. We help people deal with what's right in front of them.
Well, you might get paid more if you could flip the switch.
Just flip the whole point. Easy for you to say.
Yeah. But it's not the reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have a great connection with the man upstairs, but that's not one of them.
So it's funny. I'm going to just throw this question kind of out there to both of you to sort of address, because I'm sure you both have your ways of doing things. Let's talk about the process a little bit, because I'm sure you have, I don't want to say it's a day in the life because it takes more than a day, but for a client coming in, like a skeleton summary of what the process looks like as you're walking them through. I hope that's not too big of a question. If it is, we'll scale it down. Yeah.
Okay, so the process, I think each coach has a little bit different way of how they do it. And there's different time frames based on, I think, how much of a need there is for this person and how big their goal is. I can't specifically work with somebody who says, I want to take my business to six figures in the next year. Say that I can only give them, you know, they want me for a month. That's not going to happen.
Right.
I can, however, bring somebody into a one-day or a two-day workshop and help them get their vision down on paper like they've never done before. So the process is kind of like a funnel, Michelle. So there are certain things that lead to other things that lead to other things based on need, okay. Right? And the bigger the need, the longer the coach should work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the price can scale, right?
Well, yes. Obviously, it has to fit the amount of work.
Right. And the length of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And especially in, you know, personally charged situations, everyone is different.
Right.
So for me, it is a highly customized approach. And it can take, I don't work with anyone for less than 3 months on a personal situation. And generally, it takes longer than that.
Okay.
I have a what I call a system called Five Petals of Power that help women go through getting in touch with who they are and their values. And they create a crystal clear vision, which I call a roadmap. It is their roadmap for moving forward. And then I work with them on their voice and stepping into the power of their own voice so that they can allow their vision to materialize the way they envision it.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a last piece of it, which is having the passion to take the action required to make it happen.
Vision is one thing, but without implementation.
Yes.
Exactly.
It doesn't get there.
Yeah. And that is...
And that's the work part.
I think for both Maria and I, we are, bottom line, we want results.
Yeah.
So when I say vision coach, I don't just say, I'm going to help you make a really pretty vision board and stick it up on the wall, which I love them. I've had one for years. But I, like I said earlier, take it from vision into metrics. Like, how are we going to break that down into money-making activity on a quarterly basis? So that's the difference, I think, in some coaching. I don't like to be called a motivator. Because I see motivational speakers, you go to them and you walk out and you feel like you're on cloud nine. And the next day you're back to ground zero. You have nothing, what do I do?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Rather than calling you a motivator, I think you're an inspirer.
Thank you.
I've worked with Carrie, by the way.
Well, yeah. Right back
so,
at you.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I think
we have the same heart.
When we inspire mm-hmm. others to see what maybe they don't see mm-hmm. right now.
Right.
That's where the magic happens. I just got goosey, so I know that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, okay. So allow me to be a little transparent here because I love having this conversation around vision because again, I've had a big business coach. Great. Really good about what do you need your next step to be? What do you need to be doing to generate your revenue and all these different things? How do you network? The problem came in, I don't think he saw my vision as much as he saw what my current business was. And I think sometimes, and not speaking bad at all, but I think sometimes there's a little pushback to just say, well, let's just focus on this. Let's not chase the shiny object. Let's not, you know. But what I really needed was that conversation of, is it a shiny object or is it really my heart's desire? And if it's my heart's desire, then let's talk about that and see if it fits into the current game plan and how we can make that happen. So I'm going through that process right now where I'm allowing myself, I'm giving myself permission for the dream. And, you know, they say if you state it out loud, then you've committed yourself to it. I'm going to write a book. It's always been my life dream. So Maria, we both have a lot to talk about because I'm picking brain for people who have been out there. But I don't, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, 9 years old, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to be an author, you know? And so I think that if people just let themselves dream and feel their hearts, that to me is a lot that goes in vision making. Am I on track?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So here's the deal. Most people in this world, especially this very noisy, 3 million things coming at you all the time because of all the screens that we now have, there is no time to think. And it is the most crucial part of everything. Which is why when I do a workshop, Michelle, I make them come in for at least half a day, three quarter of a day. I prefer a full day or 2 days because it is a very serious thing to be able to sit down with pen and paper, no phones, no distractions, no kids, no, let me just answer this text. I'll get right back to it because it won't happen. Even though I have a book, I will honestly tell you, some people have said to me, well, I'll just get your book and do it myself. And I tell them lovingly, it's not going to happen. You have to sit down in a room with somebody saying, here's how you do the process. And you get it from here and here down on paper.
Kind of like maybe a child saying, I'll get a book about parenting. I don't need the parent.
Yes.
Yeah. And it has, you know, that the accountability piece of that that Carrie is talking about, the leading the discussion and in influencing how they see it, how they respond to it, and then holding them accountable to do it. That is a huge piece of coaching.
It is.
Huge.
Do you feel like sometimes maybe you're just putting a different frame around it so that it looks differently to them?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because if they were able to do it on their own, they would have done it already, right?
Sure, exactly.
So things don't change unless we change something.
Okay.
And generally, it's changing something within us first before anything outside of us can change.
Right. Okay.
So it's how we look at things. It's our perspective. It's how we feel about things. When we change that and we allow the possibility to just play in our brains, then something can really happen. And then you have to find someone who can help you make it happen, hold you accountable, and just hold your hand along the way until you realize. And that's the outcome that Carrie, we don't do this just to do it. We want to help people achieve their results.
Yeah.
That's what I'm all about.
Right.
I know Carrie's all about that too.
So does the situation occur sometimes where I know an individual has to be receptive to the coaching, to the changes they need to make, to the action plan?
Yeah.
Do you sometimes meet in front of a person and then after some conversation say, I don't think you're ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a form on my website for people who want to speak with me and do what I call discovery sessions. Mm-hmm. And they have to fill this out before I will set up the call with them. And I ask them, how ready are you? How willing, able, and because and I enumerate.
Right.
Or that's not the word. I express it in words exactly what it is I expect.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to sign up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes they think they're ready, and it isn't until we start working with them that we find out they're really not. And then that's another tough discussion.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've talked in general term. Let's dig deep into individual situations here. I'm going to turn over to Maria with a big shout out for your book.
Oh, thank you.
It is called Turning. Oh, let me see the title so I get it right. Upside Down to Right Side Up, Turning Transition into Triumph. Great title. Here's what I got out of it. I mean, obviously, we all have challenges, some way bigger than others, and transitions are just a part of life. But the simple transitions, we don't always need to have the coach get us through. But I thought the book was great to put out there because I thought it was filled with a lot of just good practical ideas when you're just having your own little struggle, your own little transition.
Right.
And I know, there's the 5 petals of power, and there's the, I'm going to make fun of this a little bit, there's the 8-legged stool. What that was all about is that in going back and forth with some emails, I see something about the 8-legged stool. And I said, oh, well, I didn't know about the 8-legged stool. And Maria sent back to me, ha ha, 3-legged. And I went, oh, guess I should wear my glasses when I'm reading my
your emails.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to envision an 8-legged stool, and that was that was a tough one.
Sturdy stool.
Very sturdy. You don't need 8 legs to be sturdy. Yeah.
So let's talk about the book a little bit, why you wrote it, who you think it's for, and how people can get, the most benefit out of it.
Okay. Why I wrote it. Going to try to remember your series of questions here.
I'll come back to it. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. I was inspired to write this by a prospective client who was at a workshop with me, and she had been to actually a couple of my workshops. And it was at the end of the workshop, and we were just chatting about, so, if you're ready to go deeper, how you could work with me to do that. And she said to me, I wish you'd write a book. Not you should write a book. It's just, I wish you would write a book. And I asked her about that. And I said, so why do you think I should write a book? And she said, because I know that there's stuff I need to work through, but it scares me. And I'm not sure that I can go deep and not quit because it's too hard. If I had your book, I could read through it and put it down when it gets too hard and then pick it back up. She said, if I hire you, I can't put you down.
Point.
So with that, I started asking around. I do a lot of networking, and I have a large Facebook group. So I just put out a little survey and asked, when they're going through a difficult time, what is their first go-to? And the majority, some of them said hire a coach, but not a lot. The majority of them said, I would pick up a book. I would go find a book that talks about what I need, and I would read it. So it was a very unscientific poll, but it was enough to give me the direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt right, and it felt like the right time for me. I have had to become a caregiver for my husband, and it gave me the time to write the book. So in 9 months, I birthed this book while I was staying closer to home to help my husband. And this is the result. It is intended for women who are going through difficult times in their lives, Sometimes it's not, sometimes it's one major life event, like the death of someone they love or a divorce that can turn their world right upside down. It could be an unexpected layoff that turns their business world right upside down. Or it could be those smaller events that happen over time and pile up and then eventually, and they don't really deal with them. They just go through the motions and they're surviving just fine, but they really have not dealt with the underlying emotions.
You still have that cumulative foundation of stresses and challenges.
And it piles up. And at some point, it may become the straw that broke the camel's back. And then they need help. So I believe any woman can benefit from reading the book. So the first part is about what I believe are the phases of transition. I believe there are seven. I went through seven anyway. And I talk about my story through those seven. And then in the second part of the book, I tell other women's stories, women I know, clients of mine, women I've interviewed who have inspiring stories to tell. And I tell their stories, which are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They started in a different place. They went through something different, and they ended up in a very similar place. So that, you know, that was my confirmation that these phases of transition, it doesn't really matter what the transition is. We have to go through them.
Right.
And then the last part of the book is my five petals of power, which is where they get to actually go through some activities and put some tools and strategies into their own personal treasure chest so that they can pull them out at any point in time in their life when another event turns their world upside down.
Yeah, and to that, I thought that was really great that you actually had some actionable, plan and tools for them to take advantage of. One of the things that I was rather touched by, and I'll open it up because you put it in the book, so it's no secret, but you have gone through a number of challenges. So,
Who hasn't?
But you truly walk the walk. And I know that you, so much of what you bring to the table is from personal experience, as well as your study and investment in your time to learn to be an effective coach. So it really touched me that you were that transparent to say, I've gone through all this. Mm-hmm. I've been in the mud. I know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And I thought that gave a lot of authenticity to the book.
Mm, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah.
It did come from my heart as I was writing it. You know, some people talk about writer's block, and I didn't experience that. There was one point where I wasn't quite sure what part two should be. And I worked with a book shepherd, just asked me, she was a coach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She asked me some questions that helped me get clear on now that I've told my story, now what is that? And I knew what part three was going to be, but I felt that there should be a bridge between them. And she just asked me some great questions. And after thinking it through and, just letting my intuition work for a while, mm-hmm. it came to me. So it is absolutely from the heart. It flowed out of me. I love this book. I'm pleased that it is coming to light to the world, and I am proud of it. And I can't wait to put this book into as many women's hands as I possibly can.
Well, it has a place in those hands. I do highly recommend it. Very good read. And it's not a difficult, it's not a painful read as much as it is. Here's something that you need to look at and consider as you're going through these challenges.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was great. And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very exciting. So, Kay, one of the questions, too, and this really pertains to your work as a vision coach and teaching other individuals how to rise above situations and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's just that you've had some personal challenges in the last couple of years, I think it is. But anyway, just if you could just address, what is it you've had to do to pull up from inside your gut, out of your heart, out of your brain,
right,
to move forward, and mm-hmm. so that not only for yourself, but your clients as well.
Mm-hmm. So when I talk about vision, I talk about the top 10 reasons, which have evolved since I started doing this over the past 5-6 years, as to why I say vision has to come first before anything else. And one of the biggest reasons for a vision is because I believe when I help people get their vision in writing, they are listening to their soul and they get connected to their God-given purpose while they're on this earth. It's kind of the core of why I do what I do. There's lots of reasons, but that's, if you peel the onion all the way down, that's the core of why I do what I do. Because I truly believe that we all were sent here with a purpose to carry out, and most people are so far from it. And that creates a lot of horrible issues in people's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very blessed to write my vision back in the late 1980s. And I believe what happened that day is that I got very, very clear on my purpose for my life. And the rest unfolded from there. So fast forward, you know, how many years is that now? 30?
Let's not count.
We're not counting. We're not counting.
Yes. I was 10.
A young prodigy.
Yes.
A young vision prodigy. You were.
And yes, I've had a lot of adversity. Lost my husband 4 years ago, my son a year and a half ago. I have a daughter who's 24. And so at that point in my life, that anchor, that vision became everything. Because with it, obviously I took some time off to readjust and grieve and, you know, let that all sink in. But I picked up and kept going with what I do. And that's the thing that people don't understand is when they say, how can you keep functioning? Is that somebody actually asked me once, what does your vision look like now on this side? And I said, it hasn't changed. It's actually 10x'd. When people have adversity in their life without having that rock solid vision of who they are is where they get really, really lost.
Wow. I got goosebumps on mm-hmm. that one because, again, I can really see going through, you know, deep, dark, personal struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have something that keeps you moving forward.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you may have a successful business or you may have a job, or but then
Doesn't matter. That's
not enough,
it's
to really pull you out of that place.
Right.
And as you were just talking, I really felt it like, yes, I can see that. I can see where the vision
mm-hmm.
becomes like that, you know, light beam out there
yeah.
that you're working toward.
It's mm-hmm. a beacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Thank you
yeah.
for sharing
yeah.
that. So your vision, if we can talk about your vision, mm-hmm. then is in the helping of others.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more specific than that? Can I ask you about, you know, mm-hmm. what your specific vision is?
My personal vision?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have time.
I guess we need the short.
I have a very
version.
Large plan.
The abridged version.
Yes. I really believe, and I'm sure we could all agree, and all the listeners would agree, that we are in a place in our life right now where we need a hope revival like never before. And my biggest vision right now is to continue creating my community so that when I go and speak, I have places that people can move into the community based on where they're at in their journey. Some of them are have never written a vision ever in their entire life. So that's kind of, I tell people, I'm like on the Monopoly board. I'm the little square that says, do not pass go. You start here. So there's a place for that. And then there's a place for entrepreneurs who are fairly new at what they're doing. So they can come in and get the skill building, the encouragement and the support in that process, because they need a lot of it, especially mm-hmm. at that point. So there's lots of moving pieces to what I'm creating based on where my heart is. I have a real, real heart right now. And this is part of something we're creating for, let's say, 35 and under, all the way down into like high school and maybe even middle school.
We need to talk.
They're my little passion project right now. Yeah. If I were to dedicate the rest of my life only to that, that would probably be it right now.
Yeah, so, I have a bit of a passion for, I call it next generation, because we can't refer to millennials because that's one group. And then we have all the people coming up.
We've got a whole other generation coming up now. So, this is.
And wouldn't it be amazing if that next generation knew what we, you know, our collective wisdom in this room, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we could teach them some of that before they get to be our age.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
What a world it would create. It's just, it's just an amazing concept.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's time for it.
Yeah.
It's why I keep using the word revival.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a whole different way of bringing up young humans in this world. Yes, I am a big believer that our educational system needs some serious revamping. And I'm working with a group of people who believe like I do.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a school at some point. I mean, this is what I talk about vision when I really get going.
Right, okay. So, and you're the expert at this, so you can probably handle a larger scale vision.
Mm-hmm.
The thought going through my mind right now is, I'm guessing most people should try to focus on a bit smaller vision, at least to start with. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I have a ton of visions and...
Yeah, so
but I can't focus on them.
But I believe, we all live complex lives, right? Multifaceted lives. So a piece of our vision touches every facet of our lives.
Yes.
So having a big vision is not a problem. Trying to tackle that big vision all at once, that's the problem. So then that's when, right?
And most entrepreneurs try and do that.
Exactly. So that's when we can help them.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about baby steps all the time and creating chunks of the vision that are easier to tackle and prioritizing which to tackle first. And which comes,
that's always the
and
hard
then comes
question.
What comes second, and then once you've decided what comes first, how do you break that down into small chunklets, and or chicklets or something like that?
I like chunklets.
Yeah.
This is what a good coach does, because see, here's the thing: most people dream way too small because they're very scared. They are not allowing themselves to dream because of their current situation they're in. So they're saying that's not possible because of where I'm at right now. So on a daily basis, they're getting through the day and not living their purpose. So when I do a vision workshop, Michelle, Marie's been through this several times, I use an ice cream cone as an image. So I get them to think 3 years out specifically, as if it's 3 years today. And inside, let's say the ice cream scoop part, they write out, just brainstorm in 3 minutes as if it's 3 years from today. As much detail they want their life to look like. What are they doing? Who are they spending time with? What is their family like? They're traveling. Where are they going? What's their business doing? And then from there, we take it into the cone part, which is breaking that down into, like Maria said, now we do a reverse engineering. Okay, this is where the three-year vision is. Let's talk now very specifically what the goal is in a year. With numbers, not, be nice if this happened. No, that's not a plan. So 1 year, and then we break it down into, okay, if this is where you're going to be in a year, what does 6 months look like? And if that's 6 months, what incrementally can we do in 90 days to build up to that? And like Maria said, a lot of entrepreneurs that have a lot of great ideas. They're just doing all the wrong things at the right time. All the right things in the wrong
time. Right.
Yes. And a good coach is the one who can say, love that idea, but I don't think we need to be focusing that on right now.
And write it down.
Right.
So you don't lose the idea.
Right. Let's do this first. And it's usually, let's make money. Let's monetize to get to the next level, like writing a book. A lot of people want to write a book. It's an awesome thing to write a book. I didn't write my book until year three in my business because for me, it was a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to monetize my business first and then make sense of taking the time to write the book.
Which makes absolutely...
Just an example.
Perfect sense. Absolutely. My head is whirling a little bit. So,
Welcome to my world.
I got to take a pause here, like let some of it sink in. Because it really is fascinating subjects. Because again, we talk about dream versus vision. Everybody has the dream. And I think that's one of the big things is that people don't differentiate between the two as they should. Vision is sounds much more actionable and much more.
It is the best difference.
Yeah, the clarity in all of that. And again, as we were saying, the thing that can really propel you forward in wherever your life is at.
Right.
But I think people do. They're afraid. So
always.
I'm looking at you guys as being, you know, having your hard hats and hammers and busting down roadblocks kind of thing, you know, of to try to help people get through that.
Yeah. But the busting through the roadblocks, whether it's in a business or personal, whether it's life or business, that's not done by us.
Mm-mm.
We don't do that. We help them see what they are.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't bust down their own roadblocks, it's not meaningful to them.
True.
Right. Yep.
They haven't done anything. There's nothing to celebrate.
You've done all the work for them, if that's the case. Yeah.
And I can't physically do that. Yeah. I don't have that in my power.
Yeah.
I can't control them or anything in front of them. That's theirs.
Right.
They
but you
own
do
that.
Teach,
yes.
Guide them.
We teach them strategies. We tools in their treasure chest. We absolutely teach that. Absolutely. Without that, they can't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do it for them.
I still like the magic fairy dust better.
Yeah, I know. The wand.
Well, here's the thing is if they have a vision that they are so clear on and it is so powerful to them, they will bust through their own walls.
Yeah.
Because what's on the other side, and I've said this many, many times when I speak, is I've hit all those walls. But my vision of what I wanted was bigger than what the wall was. So that's why I teach people, if they're not busting down their walls, I lovingly say to people, you don't want this bad enough. It's just the truth.
Right.
You're pacing the wall because what's on the other side to you is not big enough.
So do you feel like life or world condition us a little bit to put up those walls, to allow the fear to be in place, to not take the chances like maybe we should?
Yeah.
It's one of the things I know Carrie teaches it and so do I.
Mm-hmm.
How to replace fear with something else that can work for you because fear can do nothing but keep you stuck.
And it never goes away.
And it never goes away. But you can replace the feeling because that fearful feeling is whatever it is for you. It's a knot in your stomach. It's a lump in your throat. It's shaking hands. However it manifests for you, that feeling isn't going to go away. But you can replace how you think about that feeling. So one of the things I do is replace it with excitement. So instead of saying, this scares me, I say, this excites me. I was driving here today. I have a full day planned, starting with one of my very favorite people in the world who I loved her as my coach. Mm-hmm. And I get to share this microphone or microphones, this radio show with her. And I could feel the, oh my God, she is so much bigger than I am and been doing this. So I had to squelch that and just replace it with, I'm so excited to sit next to Carrie and share our thoughts. So, and this afternoon, this evening, I'm doing a workshop in Scottsdale with another one of my favorite people, Tish Times. She has been a coach of mine as well. And
great.
I started thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be sharing a workshop. We're going to be doing this together. We've never done this before. Oh my God, oh my God. And I had to just squelch that too and say, I can't believe this day.
Mm-hmm.
How blessed I am for this day to be able to share it with two of my favorite people.
Mm. That's so fantastic.
I think when you shift the way you think about fear, it does it does wonders to make things feel less onerous, less overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, as a podcast radio show, you don't have the visual going on. And I have to say that both Carrie and Maria are petite women, but they come off, you guys come off as being so much bigger than your physical selves. In fact, that's when you came walking in together, I was kind of like, I just have this image of these. I don't know, something more powerful, something more physically present. Now, look at these adorable, beautiful, very petite ladies walking up here, and they just, you know, ooze power and confidence, and I'm very impressed with that. And if you can believe it, we're about 7 minutes before closing here.
Oh, wow.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's so much more, really, that we could dig deep into. But, you know, this is the beginning conversation. I can think of a lot of things I'd love to invite you back for other different subjects and, things that are common. And I promise that we'll do that at some point. I just want to give you each, before we do need to close out the conversation, a few minutes, if you want to give your contact information, if you have events or workshops coming up, if you just want to give a little closing statement, take a few minutes, take your time, and I give you both the last word.
So it's this time of year that we're wrapping up, and a lot of people right now are doing one of two things. They're either beating themselves up because they are nowhere near the goals they set in January, and they're deciding that it's over. That they're just going to wrap it up. The holidays are coming. I don't know when a one-day holiday went to 90-day increment, but it's become fourth quarter excuse. The holidays are coming. I'll just put it off until January, and then I'll think about it. And so I've been, I'm on Facebook a lot, so I go live, and I post there a lot. I've been telling people that now is the time to get very crystal clear on your vision. If you are nowhere near where you thought where you were going to be at this time of the year, which is a very low percentage, it's less than 8% that actually are, then it's time to get your vision down and figure out why and how you are not going to be in the same place this time next year. So I'm getting ready to do some one-day workshops called Vision, Metrics, and Money. We're going to get your vision down, we're going to talk about your numbers, and we're going to talk about where you are going to be putting more money in the bank, because the bottom line is we can do a lot of great things when we are taking care of ourselves, right? So I'm going to do some live here in Arizona. I'm putting a couple of them on the calendar today, and I'm also going to do a couple of them virtually, so with people who aren't here, because I'm just really feeling right now that a lot of people are needing it. So that's what I'm working on. So it'll be up on my website in the next couple of days, and then you just go to carrieconley.com or infinitenation.com. You can find it either way.
We didn't even get a chance to talk about Infinite Nation.
Yes, so that'll that's be our my community, my day. Company name. Yes. Yeah.
That's great. Well, good luck with that. I know you'll do great. Absolutely. So take it away, Maria.
Oh, thank you. This has been an incredible hour. I can't even believe that it's been an hour. So my book, Upside Down to Right Side Up, Turning Transition into Triumph, launched in the Kindle version on October 2nd, and it went to, I'm so excited about this, number one hot new release
fantastic.
In the first day, and stayed there for almost a week. So that was really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I am launching the print version tomorrow. So it will be available on Amazon. Both versions now will be available on Amazon tomorrow. And I am working on the companion journal that goes with this book that will allow women to actually have a keepsake of the process they have gone through and the ideas and the insights that they've gained as they've read through it and done the exercises. So that will be coming up very shortly. Mm-hmm. My first book signing is coming up on November 15th.
Do you have a location for that?
I do. The Beautiful Women at Valley Life are hosting it for me. They are a nonprofit here in the Valley, and some proceeds from the book part of the proceeds from selling the book that evening will benefit Valley Life as well. So that's it's too late for maybe not the workshop tonight at Scottsdale Public Library, the Civic Center Library is at 5:30 to 7, and it is helping women figure out how to step into their voice and find their hidden leader, whether in business or in life. Mm-hmm. So that's this evening. And you can reach me at my website, transitionandthrivewithmaria.com.
Perfect. This is fun.
Yes, it is.
That's fun.
I love doing this because there's nothing like a true celebration of great people and the great work that you're doing. So I can't thank you enough for being here today. And again, I think there's lots of subjects. So who knows what to come in future conversation, but thank you. And I invite you to stay connected with me as well. My contact information is that I have a website, rhinoonlinestrategiesandecreativity.com, with the email of michelle@rhinostrategy.com. And, of course, anyone's welcome to call me at 480-270-9466. So that's how you can reach me. And with that, we're going to wind down here. Just, I can't thank you enough for contributing to such a fantastic conversation and actually letting people know what you do, how you do it, and how it helps the individuals who are looking for your help. So anyways, at Rhino Online Strategies, we do aspire to serve your marketing needs, to elevate your business, to find the creative marketing strategy that will take your business to the next level. So please, if you have any interest in talking with me about my marketing strategies, I encourage you to get in touch with me. And if you want to be a guest on the show, let me know. With that, this is Michelle Faust. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you,
Maria. And have a great day.
Michelle.